This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is just past 12:05 p.m. on a semi-gloomy Thursday afternoon. I genuinely forgot what day it was. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm apparently very forgetful, and I'm joined by
Arvind Yubraj.
Yes, and so today on BizBytes, we have a question for you, as we always do. Rich Bradbury is not joining us for BizBytes today because he is gearing up for his webinar taking place at 1:30 p.m. on facebook.com/BFM radio, all about 5G and the tech of tomorrow, brought to you by Oppo. So do tune into Facebook for that later on. But speaking about social media and, you know, people on it. What's our question for today?
So we're going to ask you, or we are asking you, are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic? Why or why not? Your options on Twitter are yes, still influential, yes, but only some, no, too much drama, and no, I'm indifferent.
Yeah, so this is going to be the topic for the whole show today. We've got a lineup of experts that we'll be speaking to later on that'll be on the line with us. We've got Jonathan Davies of GetCraft Malaysia. We've got Jerry Hang, founder of Modern KOL. We also got Manisha Jagan of M Talent as well. Now, over the course of the past year, it feels like for influencers, instead of being known for, you know, promoting brands and products and lifestyles, even, it seems to me at least that they're more known for some of the scandals and mishaps that they've found themselves involved in. So, for example, on the local level recently, there's the story of Yang Baobei, which is, it's sort of become like a cautionary tale for all of us. So she caused a stir on social media when she made a public confession about losing all her her money by gambling. And she spoke about, you know, how she used gambling to fund her lifestyle, which eventually got her into huge debt and sort of indebted to loan sharks as well. At the moment, she is better known as YBB and has about about 500,000 subscribers on her popular YouTube channel. And her confession video was her first appearance since the drama went down. She begins the video with this deep bow and says, you know, I want to apologize to my family and friends. I know I made a huge mistake. I promise to be responsible for my actions and will pay back the victims who have paid to buy bags and channels from me, in reference to the luxury bags and YouTube channels that she put up for sale to get money. So that's like the main, you know, that's kind of what sparked this idea was, you know, there is this local influencer who has found herself in a bit of a tight situation at the moment.
Yeah, but obviously she's not the only figure of influence who has come under fire over the last year, or even over the last month. There's celebrity entrepreneur Niloufar. She's been in the news a lot with her husband, who have been subjects of multiple scandals, including an alleged cross-border hop to Nilai during the CMCO, and also incurring 60,000 ringgit worth of fine for breaching COVID-19 safety regulations last month at her wedding, as well as a honeymoon trip in Langkawi. Multiple influencers in Bali have also come under a lot of scrutiny. They are facing scandals, including Taiwanese-American Josh Paler Lin and Russian national Lea Se, I think that's how you say, Lea Se, who painted on face masks instead of actually wearing them. Then there's travel influencer Kristen Gray, who was deported allegedly for overstaying her tourist visa, but who primarily went viral on Twitter in a Twitter thread about being a digital nomad that many Indonesians and Southeast Asians were not happy with because they felt like it was mildly exploitative at best and fully neo-colonialist at worst.
Did you read the Twitter thread?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The short story is basically it was very like, look at how cheap and wonderful living in Bali is.
Yeah.
And it was very like, okay, this is a lot.
Just bad vibes.
Bad vibes. Mm. You've also got on the bad vibes train the slew of American influencers who are also facing massive backlash. You've got YouTuber and ex-Viner David Dobrik facing accusations of sexual misconduct and bullying alongside beauty influencer James Charles and controversial content creator Jake Paul, as well as his also equally controversial brother Logan Paul. Jake Paul and James Charles also face very scarily similar charges as well.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, basically what all of this means is that the focus for influencers in the news is not so much about what they promote anymore, but who they are and the mistakes that they're making and the scandals that are surrounding them. So, you know, the big question is that, you know, are they still relevant or actually influential anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Like, are you the kind of person that, like, follows, like, a lot of this news or influencer, you know, people?
not so much. But it is quite interesting, though, because I was looking at all this, like, especially over the last month, the last 6 months or so. And it sounds like influencers are slowly transitioning between being influencers on social media to full-blown celebrities.
Right.
And I think there's like a fine line, right? So we normally like equate scandal and a lot of like mistakes that show up in the news, that blow up in the news, and all of this with celebrities. Not so much with influencers on like YouTube and social media, but I think because of how famous those platforms are becoming, especially if you are on YouTube, you are like famous instead of just internet famous. Now they've sort of like crossed the line, and when they get into trouble, it's making like mainstream media news. And I mean, we're doing the same thing, right? We're talking about these influencers on our show.
Yeah, definitely. I think the reach that a lot of these people have, you know, is on par with, I guess, traditional celebrity, right? And that, you know, there was always this conception of, oh, if they're internet celebrities, there's still an element of like relatability. There's still this element of, you know, that we're not so different, you and I.
Yep.
And now with knowing how many people that they can reach and how many people they can, you know, I mean, influence, I guess, right? There is a sort of detachment from that. You know, they're no longer just normal people, and we hold them to, you know, a really high standard because, like it or not, they're public figures, right? And I mean, we'll get more into it when we speak to our experts later on, but definitely to me at the moment, I find that I read more news about what they do in terms of like, you know, if they fall into these, you know, mistakes or if they, I don't know, encounter these scandals. I read more about that in the mainstream news more than I read about what they actually do. I didn't know half these people even existed before this month. But
So I'm wondering, right, if we put too much pressure and too much, and I might just be like ignorant and not so like well-versed with what I'm saying, but I'm just wondering as a question, do we put too much pressure and too much expectation on influencers because they've crossed that line? So now we treat them like celebrities and then we expect them to behave like full-blown celebrities, like you know, actors in like blockbuster films and stuff. And I think that's not fair because when a celebrity messes up, they have a team of people to sort of like craft their tweets and copy check and get them to say the things that are going to get them out of hot soup. But influencers may not have as many resources, you know what I mean?
They may not have as many resources, but a lot of them do. That's the interesting thing. I think I don't know so much about the local scene, but especially people like a lot of the American influencers will definitely have teams behind them. So it's, to me, it's one of those things, right, where, I mean, I, like, you and I are in some very, very small ways, tiny ways, technically public figures as well. And there is a responsibility, I mean, kind of like the thing from Spider-Man, which is like, with great power comes great responsibility. With whatever platform that you have, there has to be an awareness of, you know, the effect that you can have, you know, regardless of how big your reach is. People are looking at what you're doing.
And accountability, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. You know, and the issue of fairness we'll raise later on as well with our experts who can definitely chime in more on this than we can. But that is precisely why we're asking the question today. Are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic? Why or why not? You can get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio, where we both have polls running. And you can also reach out to us if you want to get a little bit more detailed on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Coming up is You've Really Got a Hold on Me by The Miracles. And after that, we'll be speaking to Jonathan Davis, Managing Director of GetCraft Malaysia. So do stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Birkins for Mama. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and
Arvind Yuvraj.
And today, throughout the entire show, we're going to be talking about and asking you this question.
So we're asking you, are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic? Why or why not? The options are yes, still influential. That gets about 5.7% on Twitter. Yes, but only some, 17.1%. No, too much drama at 48%. And no, I'm indifferent at 29.3%.
And also on Instagram, we have a similar poll as well, but we just have yes or no options. We've got yes at 37% and no at 63%. And a couple of responses here as well. So Josephine Yap, 9009, says they provide entertainment, which is true. Simon says, says try not to confuse them with content creators who offer more than just product placement, which is a fair point. And that is precisely why we have decided to reach out to a number of people to help us out with this conversation. So the first person that we have on the line is Jonathan Davis, who is the Managing Director of GetCraft Malaysia, which is Southeast Asia's premium creative directory. So Jonathan, thank you so much for staying on the line. Can you tell us how you think the power of influencers has been affected by the pandemic?
Really, the power of influencers has been on an increasing trend over the last 5 years. And when we look back at the things that happened in that time, it was more and more platforms coming out which influencers could engage with audiences on. But it was also just growing audiences. And since the start of this pandemic, we've just seen an acceleration of that. So influencers now actually have more platforms where they can engage, and also audiences have just gotten larger. We've spent a lot of time in the last year and a half on our social media accounts, consuming content online, consuming content through our mobile phones. And this has just increased the audiences that influencers can persuade, that influencers can influence. And we've just seen a really good acceleration here. Influencers are powerful now, and you know what? They're even more powerful.
So how have influencers adapted to creating content under the pandemic-based restrictions?
Well, yes, I think this is an issue that's affected all of us in the last year and a half. We've had to change the way we conduct everything in our lives when we're facing restrictions with lockdowns. Whether that means working from home if you work in an office, or whether if you're a creator and you're no longer allowed to go out and create. I think probably the people who've been most affected would be travel bloggers. Previous years would have probably spent very few days at home and were suddenly cooped up in their apartments, cooped up in their houses, and really struggling just, yes, to create content, but also from a mental anguish perspective. If you're a very outgoing person who loves to travel, and suddenly you can't. It's been a real issue for many content creators. How the travel bloggers responded is a lot of sort of like flashbacks and, saying, I wish I was here, or I can't wait to get back here. I think we've probably reached the end of that now, and we're going to have to get a little bit more inventive because after a year and a half, flashback photos aren't really doing it, and flashback content's not doing it. But we'll be out of this soon, and I'm sure they'll bounce back really strongly.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think we all miss traveling here in the studio as well. So, Jonathan, are more brands that haven't previously been traditionally associated with key opinion leaders or influencers, are they starting to move more towards using influencer marketing, do you think?
Yes, I think there's no question that many, many different types of brands are now realizing the importance of influencer marketing. If you want to connect with younger generations, you're going to have to be in the places that they are. And right now, a lot of them are on these social media platforms. So how do you engage with them in a way that they like? And yes, influencers play an important part of that. I think, we look at some of the things we've seen this year. The owner of Maiden doing dances on TikTok. I kind of never thought I'd see that. So I think across the board, more traditional brands are entering sort of the more wild area of influencer marketing. And I think we're probably going to see more growth here. Previously, it was probably more lifestyle brands, but now I think you're seeing car repair shops using influencers. You're seeing financial companies using them as well. So it's probably all types of brands. The audiences are with the influencers, so they need to go there.
Have there been industries or companies that have pulled away from influencer marketing over the pandemic? And if so, why do you think that is?
Yeah, so I think here we can use the word pandemic, but maybe what would be more applicable would be the word recession. It's been a very challenging time for the economy, for many brands, for many companies. And one of the things that often happens in a recession is brands cut their marketing budgets. So we've definitely seen a drop off in marketing budgets generally, and through the GetCraft platform, we have seen less activity this year than we would have expected in previous years. But influencers probably haven't been too badly affected by this. One of the main issues was, yes, marketing budgets got smaller, but we stopped spending money on billboards, and we stopped spending money in other places. So a lot of that budget did actually get transferred to influencer marketing sort of throughout this pandemic. So on the whole, we haven't seen a huge drop off in influencers specifically. They've been able to stand up sort of much better than your out of home, maybe. The exception would be the travel industry, when not seeing lots of, we used to be a big sector for influencers, you know, come visit my hotel, take nice photos. We've seen none of that in the last year, but hopefully soon we'll be back.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, from your perspective, how has the number of KOLs and influencers changed over the course of the pandemic?
So I don't think the pandemic itself has really had an impact on the number of KOLs out there. I think maybe we've seen a shift in the type of KOL. So, you know, maybe more doctors are getting followed and you know, people are following different types of people. I think more generally in the industry, we have seen a big growth in what one might consider a KOL. And in the past, it would be someone who had, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. But now actually we're seeing a trend where, you know, brands want to connect more and more with sort of like everyday people. So who is a KOL in your everyday life? They're not necessarily a celebrity, but they're somebody who, you know, is maybe a trendsetter within a small social group. Actually, having the ability to connect with them as a brand is even more powerful. And one of the things that we're able to do at GetCraft is actually we're able to connect with many, many different micro influencers. So you, instead of running a KOL campaign with one big celebrity, actually, we're going to try 3,000 micro influencers. And so we have seen an increase in what's available. But really, I don't think that's the pandemic. I think it's more about taking technology and being able to organize that. I'll tell you, running a campaign with 3,000 nano KOLs is a challenge, and we need our technology to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, last question. In recent times, it seems like influencers are under more scrutiny than ever. Do you think that's fair?
So yes, there have been a few controversial missteps by some influencers over the last week or so. Is it fair that they get criticized and that they get lampooned for it? Well, in some of those cases, they're quite serious allegations. So, you know, they probably do need to be looked into. And, you know, it's only fair that if people have been wronged, that, you know, the proper investigation's done and we'll see what happens. But if you're going to be a role model, if you're going to be in public, then, you know, I think you have to sort of expect a certain amount of criticism and a certain amount of maybe trolling. But the key is probably how you handle it and how you, you know, respond to some of the questions that you get or respond to, you know, mistakes that you've made. I think people can be very understanding, but you just have to make sure that once something's gone wrong, that you're taking active steps to calm it down.
Right. Well, thank you so much. That was Jonathan Davis, the Managing Director of GetCraft Malaysia, which is Southeast Asia's premium creative directory. Some really interesting points there. Mm-hmm. Just give us a quick rundown of what the poll numbers are at right now.
So the poll is at 5.6% for yes, still influential, 16.9% for yes, but only some, 48.4% for no, too much drama, and 29% for no, I am indifferent.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So we will be hearing from other experts after the break. But for now, here is You Only Live Once by The Strokes. We'll also be hearing the KLCI update, courtesy of Arvind Yuvaraj, after the break as well, here on BFM 89.9.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Christine Wong, and with the KLCI update is
Arvind Yuvaraj, and it is down by 0.71% at 1,564 points. Active stocks are Focus Dynamics, Data Prep Holdings, Tanco Holdings, and the ringgit is at 4.12 against the US dollar, 3.18 against the Aussie dollar, and it is 3.08 against the Sing dollar.
All right, so the question that we're asking you throughout the entire show today is, are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic, and why or why not? What are the poll results on Twitter at the moment?
On Twitter, let me do a quick refresh. It is at 5.6% for yes, still influential, 16.9% yes, but only some, 48.4% no, too much drama, and 29% for no, I'm indifferent.
On Instagram here, we've got yes at 36% and no at 64%. And we've got Meandering Misha, who chimes in with, as long as social media is around, influencers will always exist, which is, I don't think she's wrong. How about WhatsApp?
Over on WhatsApp, there's a message here from Ro who says, I've never been influenced, mainly because I don't know a single influencer. I guess herds need someone to guide them. Anyway, if they're any good, I hope they're influencing the masses to vaccinate.
That is true. Good always to promote vaccinations. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. And you can also get in touch with us on WhatsApp, much like Ro just did, at 018-789-8899. Before the break, we were listening to some insights from Jonathan Davies of GetCraft Malaysia. But now on the line, we have Jerry Hung, who is the founder of Modern KOL, which is an academy that's dedicated to training key opinion leaders. So Jerry, thanks for staying on the line with us. First question for you is, how has the power of influencers been affected by the pandemic?
I think there's a two side of the story. I think first of all, it's actually getting more and more easier for the influencers to actually express themselves. And then I think a lot of brands have started to actually realize that, you know, it's very important for them to actually build online branding through influencer. But on the other side, you know, a lot of businesses and brands also are suffering, you know, of a closing down, you know, losing businesses during the pandemic. So I think there's a 50-50% effect in the market right now.
So just like generally speaking, how have local influencers dealt with creating interesting or relevant content under the ever-changing lockdown restrictions?
For the influencer nowadays, you know, especially during this, you know, COVID and also MCO, right? I think they have to adapt to equip themselves with more skill set. So like previously, you know, all they have to do is actually to shoot a very nice photo, you know, of the particular products or brands, you know, and whatsoever. But right now, I think the demands and also the requests of the brands that actually needed them to do more things besides just a photo taking. So they need to equip themselves, you know, from maybe copywriting, you know, video shooting and also live streaming as well.
So for brands that haven't previously been traditionally associated with KOLs or influencers, do you think they're moving more into that space now?
Yep. I think the brands definitely nowadays is actually associated with the KOL and influencer a lot during this pandemic. I think they started to realize they can't focus merely on the offline footfall. So they need to have an online exposure, especially during MCO, they couldn't actually open up their shop. You know, their customer are not too sure whether are they still exist, are they still surviving or not. So online exposure is becoming very, very important. And one of the channels for the brands and also the merchants to actually expose themselves and also to sell products is actually through KOL or influencer. When the brands want to engage KOL or influencer, right, they need to understand the fundamental difference so that they know who they should actually engage with, right? And secondly, of course, it's actually the objective. If let's say you're merely looking for those, you know, high fans influencer, but without, you know, a dominant expertise, or the objective for the brand is actually just looking for, you know, a massive exposure, then they can actually look for, you know, influencer. But if let's say for the brands, you know, they are looking for someone that can actually, you know, carry the brands, you know, and then to explain a more in-depth knowledge regarding their brands or their industry, right? I think they will actually go for the KOL. So I think there's a misperception in the market right now where influencer and KOL are the same. But, you know, coming from modern side, you know, we always tell people they are different, very, very different.
Interesting. Are there industries or companies that have moved away from using KOLs or influencers? And if so, why?
The answer is actually definitely yes. A few brands, you know, companies or merchants has been actually pulling away from, you know, influencer marketing. I think first of all, we need to understand that, you know, there's a multiple tier in terms of like how do we actually value the influencer. There's always a good and bad, you know. For some of the brands, if let's say they didn't actually manage the expectation on why they're actually engaging the influencer and what's the outcomes that they're looking at, right? So if let's say the outcome didn't actually really hit the expectation, then this is why they feel disappointed. They think that it's actually the influencer marketing is actually not working in general. But I think, to be fair, I think for the brands, before they actually engage the influencer. Either they actually engage directly with the influencer, or you know, the best is actually to go through agency, because this is where the agency will actually explain to them, you know, why you need an influencer, what kind of influencer you're looking at, you know, what's the objective. Are you actually looking forward for merely exposure purposes, or for education purposes, or for selling purposes? So by understanding a different objective, you know, it will actually increase the result, and also to reduce the likelihood of them, you know, from disappointing and any of the days saying that, you know, influencer marketing is actually not working, right? So I think to cut a long story short, I think is both sides actually have to play a very, very important role. Okay, so to understand, you know, the objective of the particular campaign and whatsoever. And then I think for influencers side, they can't actually take any job just because of they are getting paid. And sadly to say, I think most of the influencers in Malaysia are still doing that.
So, Jerry, what's your take on the number of KOLs and influencers? Do you think it's changed over the course of the pandemic at all?
Unofficial record statistics, I think this is just based on our very own, you know, experience from Modern and also our research. I can actually literally tell you, I think there's more than 100% increase. Okay, and don't be shocked why I'm actually saying that. I think it's actually very easy to understand, because imagine our first MCO since last year, March 2020, until today, we are welcoming our, you know, MCO 3.0, right? So during those days, you know, literally they can't actually go out, you know, a lot of like offline activities has been stopped. So for them to survive, they actually move to work online, right? So the number has been increased, you know, dramatically when they can't actually do anything offline. So a lot of them have been actually doing things online. So hence, this is where the chaos comes to the picture, because there's a difference in terms of like quality. There's a difference in terms of like skill set. A lot of them, you know, just wanted to do something because they can't do anything offline. So, yep, to answer your question, actually, there's a lot of people, you know, coming from different background, coming from different industry, coming from different qualifications, also claiming themselves as an influencer or KOL. I think one of the things that, you know, Modern wanted to do is really, you know, to give a correct, you know, skill set, correct mindset, and also a correct platforms to really build and groom them, especially those quality one, to become a professional KOL.
So do you think KOLs and influencers are under more scrutiny than ever, especially when it comes to their personal character or their personal decisions? And do you think that's even fair?
I think this is something that from our side, we feel very sad and also worried as well. So, but I still go back to, you know, we have to understand the fundamental difference in between influencer and also KOL, right? So for influencer, especially for them to become influencers, sorry and sadly to say that it's because of they wanted to become, you know, famous, right? So they wanted to become famous online, I think, first of all. And secondly, because they thought by becoming influencer, they can actually make quick money online. In order for them to achieve that, right, they will do whatever it takes for them to achieve their goal, right? Okay, so they do something silly, they do prank, you know, they speak some things that, you know, maybe it's actually beyond our common sense thinking, you know, with the only intention is actually for them to get famous and also to make quick money, right? But for KOL, the intention is actually very different. KOL doesn't limit by the age or, you know, their appearances. The best KOL is actually those that actually born in 60s, 70s, 80s, eh? Like me, myself, born in 80s, right? The reason why I'm actually saying that is because of, you know, we are the group of people that, you know, we have knowledge, we have, you know, experiences, we know what's actually right, we know what's actually wrong, right? So we have things that, you know, we can actually add values and also empower others. But the sad thing is, we're the group of people that, you know, we are not tech-savvy. We can't actually face camera, you know, we can't shoot videos, we can't do live streaming, right? This is one of the reasons that why Modern is actually here as well, right? We need to really empower, you know, and groom people with the skill sets so that good people, right, experienced people, those that really with a good intention people, right, they can actually show a good example, you know, online. It's not a platform just for people to actually, you know, becoming famous or, you know, making a quick buck, but also to actually add values and also to educate others. Okay, so you're asking me whether it's actually fair or not. I think different intentions would definitely lead to a different outcome and result. So my advice, my take is, it's never about, you know, what they do, but it's actually why they are doing it, and also what kind of like intentions, what kind of like outcome they, at the end of the day, are they actually looking at. Those good people, you know, experienced people, knowledgeable people, you know, stand up, right? One of the reasons that, you know, they can come out to show a bad example is because of good people actually didn't come up.
Right. Very interesting. Now, that was Jerry Hung, who is the founder of Modern KOL, which is an academy that trains key opinion leaders as well. Some very interesting insights, but we do have to take a break for a little bit. So we have a Looking Out My Back Door by CCR coming up. If you want to get in touch with us about this question again, are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic? Why or why not? Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. And of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. After this, we'll be speaking to Manisha Jagan of M Talent. But for now, here's Looking Out My Back Door with CCR on BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Christine Wong, and in the studio with me today is
Arvind Yuvraj.
What's the question we've been talking about throughout the show today?
So we're asking you, are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic? Why or why not? Your options on Twitter are yes, still influential, which has 5.6%. Yes, but only some, 16.8%. No, too much drama, 48.8%. And no, I'm indifferent at 28.8%.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any responses anywhere, Twitter, WhatsApp?
No, nothing on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to bring up something though. So
sure.
Before the break, couple of things we've learned. So there's a difference between KOLs, influencers, and celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are celebrity influencers.
Mm-hmm.
They might be celebrity KOLs.
Mm.
But there are three different brackets of people who do three different things and sort of like work in different ways.
Yep.
And we also learned that it's become very difficult for influencers to put out content during the pandemic because some of them make some of them need to travel,
mm-hmm.
some of them need to move around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say though that TikTok has exploded ever since the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are putting out really good content
mm-hmm.
on TikTok, like
mm-hmm.
extremely creative stuff from the comfort of their own living room. I also wanted to point out that because of the pandemic, there is a lot of content that has been based around the things that we are going on. So I don't know if you're familiar with, there is a comic strip that comes out, like Malaysia's Anime, that comes out every so often. So by Don't Like That Bro.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Ernest Ng, I believe his name is.
Yes. And that is like extremely entertaining. So I just wanted to chime in and say that I guess it kind of depends like where the content comes from and how you make content when there's not enough room to make content, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a response on Instagram as well. PDX3156 says, the primary reason to follow influencers still remains. Most are creating interesting content.
Mm.
So there you go. Speaking of people who create interesting content and also manage a lot of talent as well, we have on the line our final guest for today, which is Manisha Jagan of M Talent. So it's a boutique, a creative talent public relations agency specializing in both traditional and digital services. And we really wanted to get your thoughts on this. So thank you for being so patient with us and staying on the line. Manisha, what's your thoughts on the power of influencers during the pandemic?
Yeah, the power of influencers have definitely been affected by the pandemic, but I think in a positive way. The power of influence has been essential during this time, you know, with so much of news going around on like what's happening, you know, people are not sure of things, or there's like, you know, people are looking for creative ways to market and get messages across. I think influencers of people with influence, you know, are sought after to find out thoughts and opinions on matters, you know. So I think not only social matters, but, you know, what their lifestyle, what they're doing, you know. So I think, yes, there's been an effect, but I feel a positive effect, you know, so influencers got only more influential during the pandemic.
Mm, so just like generally speaking, how have local influencers dealt with creating interesting or relevant content under these, you know, these ever-changing lockdown restrictions?
Okay, this is a great question. So I think that local influencers definitely dealt well with it, I feel, because, you know, when we're locked up at home or during the MCO periods, you know, where we're restricted from going out and doing our usual things, I think people got really creative, you know. So even local influencers, content creators, they all got to also explore, I think, different mediums, you know, including like TikTok, Clubhouse, you know. So everyone's getting more creative with their content. So it's been, I think, fairly exciting for everyone. You know, just having this this conversation, I think, on BFM is a good sign that, you know, they're creating cool stuff to be talked about.
Absolutely. Well, so Manisha, for brands that, you know, weren't, I guess, interested in or traditionally associated with, you know, influencer and KOL marketing, do you think they're getting more interested now?
Yes, definitely. I think, like, definitely marketers have been exploring different ways to basically market or communicate about their product. And influencer marketing or KOLs are a good way. You know, why not, since there's so much of attention on social media right now? You know, how do we capitalize on that? I think marketers are definitely thinking, and they're getting creative in the ways that they reach out to their consumers. And what better way than to explore on KOLs and influencers? So I think, yes, definitely there are brands, new brands or new industries that have never considered KOLs or influencers to start looking into that area on and how they can customize a campaign that can suit their product or service.
Mm-hmm. And have there been industries or companies that have pulled away from influencer marketing over the pandemic? And why do you think that is, if there is?
Okay, in our personal experience in the agency, I don't think there are any industries or companies that have pulled away, but probably they have re-strategized their marketing budgets, you know, to prioritize perhaps a bigger mix of marketing elements to explore or re-strategize with the current constraints, you know. For example, because the way we look at influencer marketing is part of the marketing mix, you know, so perhaps, you know, they would substitute influencer marketing for something else, you know, depending on the situation and depending on their product or service. So for example, let me see, if it's retail, right? So in retail, usually they would like do spend marketing on ground, you know, but since there are not many people to begin with in shopping in retail currently, maybe in the start of the pandemic, you know, they did look at other ways of creating or basically attracting potential customers, and that's creating content online with influencers or KOLs. So I don't think that there are industries or companies that have necessarily pulled away, but I think there could be some that have basically re-strategized or reprioritized their marketing mix, you know, and whether to include influencer marketing or not.
Interesting. So can you tell us, Manisha, a little bit about your thoughts on the number of KOLs and influencers? Do you think it's changed at all over the past year?
I think just from observation, definitely there's been an increase in the number of KOLs and influencers. You know, it could be for multiple reasons. There's also been a lot of job loss, you know, and I think people have taken the opportunity to also start side hustles, you know. So I think creating content and getting on social media, actually, to be honest, a lot of people out there have always thought about it. And during the pandemic, probably a few, you know, have ventured into it, and a lot of them have also found success. So I think new platforms on social media that have increased in like users and, you know, engagement in the app have also made some really quick local influencers, KOL stars. I think platforms on like Clubhouse and TikTok definitely encourage that. So we've definitely seen like new celebrities, new local KOLs and influencers coming up in the past year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So last question, Manisha. Over the course of the pandemic, do you think influencers have come under more scrutiny based on their personal lives? I think that's the key word, personal lives, now more than ever. And do you think that's fair?
Well, I think definitely when whenever you're in the limelight, you know, whoever it is, whether it's a big celebrity that's from film, you know, television, local, international, or whether you are a local content creator influencer with a big following, you're always going to be under someone's limelight, you know, or because it comes with the influence, you know, you have an audience. So people are always going to be watching your every step, your every move, you know, what you put out. But I think, like you know, the saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. So I think for content creators and influencers, they should be always conscious about what they put out there. Like, that's my personal opinion. But these creators also always have strong opinions. That's what makes us follow them, you know, and check out what they're doing. So I think as part of the audience or consumer, you know, of all this content, it's also our prerogative to make sure not to jump into conclusions. Some of these things are always like curated, you know, they're part of like some bigger campaign or basically some bigger plan like the creator has. As part of the audience, you know, we shouldn't also be quick to judge. But for the creators and influencers, they understand with the power of influence, there's a lot of at stake, you know. So I've also, you know, just recently, like I think like last week when I was talking to a major influencer from TikTok, like he was sharing that, you know, they also undergo cyberbullying, where sometimes they are hesitant to put out certain content because the audience, you know, would actually lash out quite harshly in the comments. As creators also, they feel kind of like obstructed to make new content in the way that they feel comfortable. So I think, you know, it's a give and take. The space is big, you know, it's not really regulated per se, you know, in the type of content that you can put out, you know. So I think has to be treaded carefully, and people should just be good human beings, to be honest. As the audience, you know, I think everyone should take what they receive with a pinch of salt too. Just don't jump into conclusions.
All right, that was Manisha Jagan of M Talent sharing her thoughts with us. Thank you to her and to Jonathan Davies of GetCraft and also Jerry Hang of Modern KOL for joining us today on BizBytes. Our question was, of course, are influencers still as influential a year into the pandemic? What are the final results?
Final results, after a quick refresh, yes, still influential, 5.5%. Yes, but only some, 17.2%. No, too much drama, 49.2%. And no, I'm indifferent at 28.1%.
And on Instagram, it's 36% yes and 64% no. So thank you very much for chiming in with your votes and your responses as well today. Upcoming on the Breakfast Group replay after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is Paul Sanda, Senior Trade Investment Commissioner of the Australian Trade and Investment Commission in Malaysia and Brunei. And also at 1:30 coming up on Facebook Live, facebook.com/BFM Radio is 5G and the future. That's the Tech of Tomorrow webinar that Rich Bradbury is hosting. So do tune in to that. All right, here's Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys, and I'm Christine Wong, and I've been joined by Arvind Yuvraj on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.